other baptism. We're in second to the third week. Most Christians are familiar with water baptism. How many of you are familiar with water baptism? Okay, we're all pretty much familiar with that. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 that there are six foundational principles of the doctrine of Christ. There are six foundations that every Christian should be aware of. In other words, in fact, it says if you don't know these six things, you cannot grow up spiritually, you cannot mature and grow properly as a Christian. And those six foundational doctrines are repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, plural, the doctrine of the laying on of hands, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. You say, well, I don't even know what those mean. What do I do? We actually have a class called Starved, which will take you through all of those foundational principles that you can take. But in the absence of that, we don't have time. Let me take you to the third one today, called the doctrine of baptisms. Now, there are four baptisms in the New Testament, three of which apply to you and to me, three of which all of us as Christians should have. The one that we should not have is the baptism of John the Baptist, in the River Jordan. How many of you know you can't be baptized by John any longer? Why? John is dead. Now, if you're really uninformed, he's dead, okay? Don't feel badly about it. It happened 2,000 years ago. Say, but he was beheaded. Even if he wasn't, he'd be dead by now. So you can't be baptized by John. The baptism of repentance passed away with John. Yet there are three baptisms that every person who names the name of Christ should have in their life. Number one, being baptized into Christ. That word baptized means immersed. When the Bible says be baptized into Christ in Scripture, it's referring to being born again or making Jesus the Lord of your life or accepting Christ as your Savior and Lord. However, whatever term you want to give it, receiving the Lord into your life, all of those things are synonymous with the biblical term baptized into Christ. How many of you are grateful that Christ is in you the hope of glory? Aren't you glad you're saved in Him? It's awesome. So that's the first baptism. So if you've given your life to Jesus, you're baptized into Christ. The second baptism is the baptism with water. A couple weeks ago, we had a water baptism weekend where over 400 people were water baptized. 130 plus got up at the moment, and were of that 400 plus, 130 of them just kind of stood up at the moment and went and got baptized. And that weekend as well, over 130 plus people gave their lives to Jesus. It's a marvelous weekend, as people were baptized in water. Amen? Yet there is a third baptism that every Christian should enjoy. It's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not an it. The Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, He is the third person of the Godhead. And every Christian should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In fact, John the Baptist pointed to this baptism when he was baptizing in the River Jordan, pointing to Jesus. Listen to what he said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is here's terms that would be synonymous. The baptism with the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Those are all terms that point to this experience called being baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Now think of this. If the Son of God stood here today and said, I offer you the ability to be immersed in the person of the Holy Spirit, how many of you as Christians would be takers? Well, if you're wise, you would be. And yet many times this causes confusion with people. Because people will say, well, wait a minute. If I'm a Christian and been baptized into Christ, don't I have the Holy Spirit? Yes, you do. You have been born of the Spirit. And yet there is a separate experience called being filled or baptized with the Spirit. In fact, you remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who was one of the rulers of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. He wanted to know how he could get to heaven. And Jesus said these words, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus did what many of us would do. He said, born again? What's that? He said, can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Jesus said, you must be. Not once or twice, I imagine hundreds of times through the years in this course and talking to folks about Jesus and walking with God and giving their life to Christ, they'd say this to me. I'm a Christian. I'm just not a born-again Christian. They don't make any other kind. What kind of Christian are you? Well, I'm the kind that just goes to church through osmosis. I just melted into becoming a Christian. Going to church won't make you a Christian. Receiving church sacraments won't do it. You have to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. And when you receive Jesus, you are baptized into Christ. And the Bible said, you become a new creation in Christ. You become a new person altogether in the inward man. You become born of the Spirit of God. You were dead in your sin and now you're alive to God, born of the Spirit. So if you've given your life to Jesus, yes, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Yet you have perhaps yet not received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 8 is the clearest place in the Bible where by experience you can see them defined. Philip was preaching in the city of Samaria. He was called Philip the Evangelist. He led people to Christ. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed, and many that were paralyzed and were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, and said, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed and was baptized. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. So I think without any controversy, it's safe to say, when Philip preached Christ to them, the Bible said they believed and then they were baptized. So how many of you know, according to the scripture, they are now born again, children of God, baptized into Christ? They have experienced the first two baptisms, baptized into Christ and water baptism too. And now look at the next verse. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received, past tense, the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they had not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when you read that, it is impossible that you do not see a distinction between the two experiences. In fact, the apostles at Jerusalem came to pray for them. Question now. From Samaria to Jerusalem, it's not a long distance, but if you have to walk, it's a long distance. How many of you drove to church today? How many of you drove a relatively short way? Raise your hand. Now, would that have been a short drive for you if you had to walk? That experience would have been very different this morning if you walked to church. And from Samaria to Jerusalem, you understand, they didn't get their cell phone and go, dude, you got to come down here. Philip's had an amazing meeting. People are getting saved, baptized in water. You guys got to get down here. All right. How's your good cell coverage down there in Samaria? I'll be right down, jump in the car, and they're in Samaria. Word had to get back to them. A lot of times it has transpired. And then they travel to Samaria. They gather the people together. And now they are filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to understand in the book of Acts, there are multiple places that show you what happens when somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is where it makes people nervous, because it requires experiencing God right now. It requires a move of a miraculous God in your present day life. See, religion will make you real, real satisfied with a mighty, powerful God in the past, or that God in the future. But you'll find people struggle when you talk about God showing up right now in this service for you. That's what he wants to do in your life. God, when Moses said, when he went to Pharaoh, he said, Lord, who do I say sent me? He said, you tell them I am has sent you. God named himself present tense, I am. You understand, God's not the great has-been. He's not the God of the Hall of Fame for what he did. And he's not in the farm systems of heaven waiting for potential to be realized. He's not potential and he's not a has-been. He is the God of the I am. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. James said there's not even a shadow of turning in God, much less a turning or a change in him. And so you find when Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 8, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Alice, did he say tongues in church? Alice, I sure did. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Remember that little song kids sing? B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Unless it talks about tongues, it makes me nervous because I'm full of religion. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. And it is the book for thee, and this experience is for thee. Unless you reject. Which you can. Not smart, but you can. Acts 2:4. Acts chapter 8, we see them filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 9, Paul the Apostle was filled with the Holy Spirit. And by his own testimony in Corinthians, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And the Corinthian church is a tongue-talking, crazy church. They really were. Read the Bible. Acts chapter 10, when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, who was the Italian. It's in the Bible. It's the only verse that talks about Italian people in the Bible by name. And I love that verse. His last name was Nuzzo, but I can't prove that. The Bible said, while Peter yet preached, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard Peter preaching. And as many as that came with Peter were astonished because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts 19, Paul in Ephesus meets them. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They said, we haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. Paul leads them to Jesus. Then he lays his hands on them and the Bible said they spoke with tongues. Now, people say this to me all the time. That makes me nervous. Well, you know what makes me nervous? That the Bible makes you nervous as a Christian. It's like when people, listen, I understand. I really do coming to church when it's God in the now. I understand it. First time I showed up at a church like this, my mother drugged me. And I tell you, I thought y'all were crazy. I have many people come to me and say, Pastor John, does it have to be so demonstrative in this church? So what do you mean? Well, during the singing, do people really have to just lift their hands and, oh, God, I love you and all that stuff? I mean, it really makes me uncomfortable when people worship God at church. Okay. What do you think we ought to do? Badminton? If you're in church. Do you know how crazy that is? But you go to listen, the Steelers play at what, 4:30 this afternoon or 4? 4 what? 4:25. And I will be watching it. And who do we play this weekend? Oh, I hate Oakland. How many of you are from the 70s and just can't stand the Raiders still? Say, you shouldn't say hate in church. I hate Oakland. Now, if you're an Oakland fan, we have seating in the cafe just for you. But look, I got to tell you something, guys. I understand what it's like to go to church where people are God in the now people. And I understand that. I understand it can become uncomfortable for us. But this isn't about some experience to make you weird. This isn't about weirding out. This is about you having a relationship with the person of God, the Holy Spirit. He is God, and he wants to intimately involve himself in your life. That's why Romans 8, verse 14 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you understand that God your Father, by his Spirit, wants to intimately lead and direct and guide your life? Not in these, just in big decisions, and some people doubt that. He wants to be involved in your everyday life. My son's in school, and he's navigating through issues of what am I going to do with my majors and all this kind of stuff. When he calls me or Michelle on the phone and he asks us questions, he has an expectation because he is our child that we'll help guide him. It's not any thought to him this afternoon for my phone to ring before the Steeler game and to talk to me and say, Dad, you know, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking of that. In fact, during the game, if it's my son, I will pause the game. I will talk to my son. He has an expectation that it's my Father's will to lead me, help me, guide me, direct me, and do the best he can for me. You have a Heavenly Father who, by the person of the Holy Spirit, wants to intimately guide and direct your life. It's incredible. It's incredible. Listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 16. The Holy Spirit will glorify me, Jesus said. For he will take up what is mine and declare it and show it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. And therefore I said, he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. All of the resources of God the Creator are in Christ. And Jesus said, in the person of the Holy Spirit, he will intimately declare it to you. Now, can you tell me who doesn't need that in their life? I understand you might be a little uncomfortable with the fullness of being filled with the Spirit and speaking with other tongues because it's supernatural and it's God showing up in your present day life. I understand that. I understand that it takes a matter of faith and humility and God, I submit to you. I understand that. Can I tell you, it's not about the experience. It's about the person who brings the experience of the Holy Spirit. And I don't understand a Christian who, and I understand if they don't understand the Scripture yet, but I don't understand a Christian who's a cafeteria Christian. So I'll take that part of God and that part I like. And come on. I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, that tongue stuff is for stupid people. You know, the uneducated masses. You mean like Paul and Peter? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled with the Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Read your Bible. The entire church at Ephesus started in Acts 19 with 12 men. 3.5 years later had 25,000 people in it. I get such a kick out of people that say, well, these mega churches, it started with a mega church. The first message preached, 3,000 people got saved. We've been here 19 years next month. We don't have 3,000 people yet on a weekend. We haven't even gotten to where they got in one day here at Victory. And people say, this is a big church. Church at Ephesus had 25,000 people in it in 3.5 years. And they were born again, and they were Spirit-filled and talked in tongues. And they look at Christians today and say, what, y'all crazy? You think you can do this without all of God? Think about it. See, being filled with the Spirit, God intimately working in our life. Let me illustrate it this way. How many of you have ever heard of the swallows of San Juan Capistrano, where they fly back every year? The swallows winter in Argentina. How many like the winter in Argentina? Oh, Jesus, in January, Shelley, let's go winter us in Argentina. Let Steve Moore preach for a couple months. They fly back 6,000 miles, and they show up on May 19th every year. And there's a few that straggle in before, but then the whole bunch of them show up every year to San Juan Capistrano and to the mission. At San Juan Capistrano, in this old church that had been damaged through earthquakes, and they've been showing up for over 100 years there that we know of, and just the same day they show up. And they go 6,000 miles. Something in them brings them there. Now obviously we know it's God's instinctive. How do they get there? And they get there on time. Look, I can't get three women in my house ready on time. These birds are going 6,000 miles showing up on time. Come on, man. I don't know if you're like me. I'm downstairs. I say, okay, guys, we got to go. We'll be right down. You know what that means? Nothing. Someone tells me to be right down. I think I'm going to hear three footprints, footsteps coming down the steps. Let's get in the car. Let's go. I'll be right down 5 minutes later. We have to go. The time doesn't stop for you, I promise. You can't tell the clock, but I need it. It's going to move. I'll be right down. I'm completely ignored. Yet these birds can show up at the same time. I said I wasn't going to be this bold in the 11 o'clock because Michelle was here. But you know what? I feel some boldness coming on. Well, anyway, I said, boy, you're stupid. You got to go home. Say, what's wrong with you? I'm so thankful I have a wife that's so kind and good to me. But it would be nice if you guys could just be like those birds once in a while. Thank you, Jesus. Now, listen, something in them, something in San Juan, at the San Juan Capistrano, in that little mission, is calling them there. You ever seen the radars on television, where on a movie, and when you'll see that thing sweep, and a ping, 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 and it's pointing you towards something. The radar, GPS, anybody have GPS? I love GPS. Because I get lost at the mall. No, I really do. I'm directionally challenged. I mean, I know how to get out of it. Actually, I don't know which exit at the Ross Park Mall to take. Michelle tells me, I know, which one do we go out again? I never know where I park. Because I forget, because I don't want to be there. But GPS, do you ever miss your turn? You know what it'll tell you? Recalculate. It says recalculate, says turn around, turn around. If you just keep going long enough, it'll give you a whole new route. And it'll take you 400 hours to get somewhere you could have gotten in 12 minutes. See, you don't have a thing on the inside of you. You have a person on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit brings a whole other dimension of Him leading, guiding, and directing you. The awesome thing about God when He says turn around, you might have gone 20 extra miles. When you do it on GPS, you have to drive backwards. It's not that way with God because of His mercy, His grace, and His redemption. You turn around, He brings you to start ground zero right now. Because of His mercy and love. And you don't have to wait 20 years to be forgiven. You don't have to backtrack 30 times. He just takes you right back. You might feel 10,000 miles away. One step of a turn toward God by His mercy and grace, He'll take you right back to where you belong. That's the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And the fact of it is, there are hummingbirds in Wyoming that are soon to fly all the way to South America. And then they're going to turn around and fly all the way back to Wyoming. Something in them is being tugged on. Something over there is calling something in here. That's the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Except someone in you, it will lead, guide, and direct and resource you in the everyday affairs of life. You see, if God can get a swallow back to Capistrano, don't you know that there's a way for Him to get you to your place by following the work and person of the Holy Spirit? And He's asking of us today, do you not want the fullness that I have for you? See, again, I understand what this is like for so many people because I was raised where, and I don't mean this in any way derogatorily about my religion of birth, it's just different than what I'm experiencing now. When I went to church, listen, it was calm. When you're seated, people walked in, you heard this, click, 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 click on the floor. It was calm. No one's praising Jesus. Hallelujah. Just calm. In fact, someone coughed and went, I mean, it's just quiet. You know, and they didn't put up Larry King walls behind you. Doesn't that look like the Larry King wall? Anybody remember Larry King? I mean, come on, it hasn't been that long ago. I mean, you know, and worship where guitars and drums and Jesus, I worship you, and you know, and that's you're out there, people lifting their hands beside you. It's like people have guns in the room. You know, it's a little disconcerting. My mom began to take me to churches like this. She gave her life to Jesus way back in the 1970s through the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And then she started to go to Bible-believing churches, and I mean, she went some crazy places, and she drugged me with her. Eventually, I gave my life to the Lord. I received Christ. I was baptized into Christ. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I knew, though. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. We had a Bible in our house growing up. It weighed about 7 million pounds, and you put flowers in it to crush them. You remember? How many of you have one of those? I remember the one in my mom and dad's bedroom. It was a big white Bible, weighed about 19 pounds. You needed two people to carry it out. We never read the thing. We didn't know. I'm not being critical. We just didn't know. So my mom gives her life to Jesus, and time's gone by. I've given my life to the Lord. It's not been very long. I don't know anything about the Bible.
But I had been getting boils on my body for, I don't know, probably a year or two. I had about 10 or 12, one after another after another. I have scars all over my body from them. They're not pleasant things. Now, how many of you are trying to lose weight? This will help you. You won't want to eat after church, so here you go. It's a pimple times 1,000. Yeah, you do the math. It's not pleasant. And I developed one on my right eye. It looked like you slid a ping pong ball in my eyelid. It hurt so bad, every time my heart beat, it felt like you hit me in the head with a hammer. So I knew from having many of these that there was a process before they would, well, let's just say, decline to their end. I'm trying to be good here, okay? And so we go to the doctor, because I asked my mom, can you bring me for pain medication? Because I knew that it wasn't ready to yet be lanced or cut. So we go to the doctor, and of course his term was, it's not yet ripe. There you go. That'll help you with your diet. And so, but gave me pain medication. I go home, I go to bed, try to go to bed. I'm laying on the couch. My mom's doing the mom thing, putting hot compresses on my eye. It's about 1 a.m. or so, and she's going to go to bed. So she's giving me the pain medication, hoping I'll go to sleep. She turns the television on for me. And she finds, how many of you remember UHF? Remember? How many of you have no idea what UHF is? Now listen. Pitiful things. You listen to me. The Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. So none of your business. I'll go on YouTube. They'll have a picture of somebody turning on those channels. And channel 53 actually was channel 53 on the UHF. And that little round antenna in the back you wiggled, it was ancient. But anyway, she found, of course, my mother's not going to find something that a kid wants to watch. She's going to find something that a mother wants her kids to watch. So she finds the 700 Club. And you know, I hear people make fun of those people all the time. Try not to make fun of things that you don't understand. Because the fact of it is, the Bible said God will choose foolish things to confound the wise. And that means that when God chooses something stupid to show you that you're not smart, do you know how dumb you are? Which means he will confound the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. And so what basically saying, I'm not going to get on your level and pretend that you're smart. Because if God deals with you on the level of intellect, you're finished. I don't care where you went to school, and you can have the alphabet behind your name. You're going to deal with God on the level of his intellect? So we can make this and we can make that. God, we can do this and we can... No. Do it like God did. Start with nothing. At all. Now go make something. Well, that's not possible. That's why you're not God. Shut up. Just a thought. But anyway, so I'm laying on the couch. I'm watching now the 700 Club. And Pat Robertson's on there with a guy. How many of you remember a guy named Ben Kinchlow? He was a black guy. He still is. And he's alive and still black. And Pat Roberts still white. And they were praying together, you know. And Ben Kinchlow, when he would pray, he made faces. He'd go, he's just so intense. And I just thought it was kind of wild to watch. And Pat Robertson, when he would pray, his eyebrows would drop to his chin. And they're praying and they invite people to give their life to Jesus. I've already done that. And then he says this. He said, there's a 16-year-old boy watching with a boil on his right eye and God wants to heal him. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I went, what? And he repeats it. He said, I said there's a 16-year-old boy with a boil on his right eye and God wants to heal him. I found out later when I was being interviewed on a Christian network that when Pittsburgh received those in the 70s, they were 2 weeks tape delayed. Think of God. 2 weeks before thinking of me. Knowing that at 1 a.m, my mother would find... And I didn't know what to do with that. I just went, okay. I just felt kind of weird. It was just kind of shocking, you know. And then he said this. He said, later on in this time that they're praying together, they're actually kneeling down holding hands. He said, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. And I knew the Holy Spirit was good. How do I know that? Because I prayed over my food as a Catholic boy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us the Lord, these I guess about to receive from thy body through Christ the Lord, and send me amen. Okay, if you grew up like I did, here's what you did when you're really hungry. Father, Son, and this one, I guess about to receive from thy body through Christ the Lord, and send me amen.
Anybody know? Anybody? Have you? Anybody been there? Okay. If you don't understand, none of your business. So I knew the Holy Spirit was good because I said His name every day, at least 4 or 5 times. I ate a lot. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, no one told me this. No doctrine of this. This is something a kid thinks. I thought the Holy Spirit was more important because He got two. So I had no prejudice against the Holy Spirit. Thought He was cool. I got to eat when I said His name. Awesome. So I just thought so all I knew to do was say okay, which is what you ought to do. I said, okay. Now, the next thing that happened to me, it felt like, it's hard to explain these things, like someone put something on you. A presence came upon me, like a blanket, a warm blanket thrown on you, something to that effect. I find myself speaking in this other language. And this is where people come and say, well, that tongues, people are cursed and taught to do such things. No one taught me anything. I didn't know other tongues. I thought other tongues were Italian. Okay, so, and I find myself speaking in this language. Now, my family goes to this church and they were witnesses to this. When I woke up the next morning, the boil is gone. Amen. Thank God for His mercy. And I haven't had another one since. To the glory and mercy of God. Now listen, those things, once they're ripe and cut, it takes a week plus for those things to have act to go away completely, longer usually, and it's gone. Now, why am I telling you that? I never want you to base what you go after based on someone's testimony. That's why I rarely do that because I don't want you to have faith in what a person experienced. But I want you to see that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of Christians around the world who are born again, baptized in water, and baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. There's been over 100 that have been filled with the Spirit, spoke with other tongues just last weekend and up to these two services now. Because God's faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to ask you a simple question. How much of God do you want? Do you want to go all the way with Him? Do you want to receive not just baptism into Christ, baptism with water, but to be filled with the Spirit? I would submit to you that I need all that God has in every part of my life. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today, and before we get to the part of giving you the opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let me make certain that you've had the opportunity in your life to make Jesus the Savior of your life. Because before you should be filled with the Spirit, or could be, you need to be born of the Spirit. That is, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you say, I've never given my life to Jesus as my Savior. I'm not sure, Pastor John, if I died right now, where I'd spend forever. Dear one, listen. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And He died on the altar of that cross, buried, rose from the dead for your sin and mine. He paid the debt I could not pay, nor could you. I'm all for church, but being a church member won't make you right with God. No church, no sacrament of any church, no pastor, no priest, including this church, this pastor, and any sacrament here in this church, you will not be made right with God through those means. Only by accepting Jesus into your heart. And one of the first works Jesus said to the Holy Spirit is right now, when you're in that valley of decision, the Bible said the Holy Spirit Himself will come upon your heart to convince you of your need for a Savior. And you either at this point accept or reject. And it's not up to God at this point, it's up to you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to pray with me today to invite Christ into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I will pray for you right there. In fact, the whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer. Please include me in that prayer to invite Christ in my heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Acknowledge through an uplifted hand, say, I want to receive Jesus. Would you lift your hand right now? And I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It is between you and the Lord right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, include me with those. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Include me as well. Thank you. God bless you. Say, include me. I've not yet raised my hand, Pastor John, but please include me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Just lift it high so I can see it. We'll pray for you as well. Thank you. God bless you. 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 If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Listen to me. Jesus will come into your heart. He will make you brand new. Your sin debt will be vanished. You will have received the free gift of eternal life. And God will never leave you or forsake you. And it's not because of what you've done, but because of what you received that He did for you. Pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. The whole church will pray it out loud together with you. Say it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am now heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you. If you prayed with me at the end of the service, Pastor Steve will give you more instructions if you're still in the room for it, and let me explain that. Would you bow your heads one more time, everyone in this room, as before we go our way, I want to give everyone this opportunity. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am a Christian. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And that includes you that raised your hand just now. You say, but I've never received that Bible experience that you spoke of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, I've been baptized into Christ, or I've given my life to Jesus. You may or may not have been baptized in water. That's not relevant. You don't have to wait to be baptized in water to be filled with the Spirit. But you're here today and you say, you know what? I want to humble myself before God. And I want the God of the now in my life right now. I want Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, to baptize me with the Holy Spirit today. I want to experience Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, right now in my life. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I expect before I leave here, I will be because of the faithfulness of God. Not my goodness, but His. There's nothing to disqualify you from receiving this gift, because the moment you have to earn a gift, it ceases to be one. The question is simply this. How hungry are you for God? How much of God do you want? How much are you willing to push away from and say, God, I'll be on my own in this area? But there's not one area of my life or your life that the help of the Holy Spirit is not needed. He's called the helper, the advocate, the standby, the intercessor, the one called alongside to help you, the one who will crawl into the ditch with you and lift you up. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor John, I want that Bible experience, and I want someone to pray for me. First, I want you to acknowledge that you desire that Bible experience. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and be bold about it. Lift your hand right now if you want to be filled with the Spirit. Be bold about it. Lift your hand high. Say, I want all that God has for me. I want everything He has for me. Just lift it high. Keep it there as an act of surrender to God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you in a moment. You can put your hands back down. In a moment, Pastor John Spencer standing up right now. We have a private place of prayer for you, where there are people that will be able to talk to you, instruct you, answer questions, and pray for you. Because we want you to have this opportunity right now. But it requires you to make a simple decision to go from an uplifted hand to getting on your feet and going and receiving and leave this place never the same again. If you raise your hand, I want you to be bold enough right now, and we won't keep you long. It doesn't take long to receive a gift. But I want you to be bold enough. Just make your way right now. Stand up and come on up and meet John up here, and he'll take you right to a place of prayer. Just stand up right now and go for it. Give them a hand as they do. Come on, be bold about it. Go get everything He has for you. Come on, give them a hand as they go. The best decision you're making in your life. The help of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't raise your hand and you said, I changed my mind, go. Go receive. Be blessed today. Oh, come on, give them a hand as they go. Father, thank You for their lives. We give You glory for what You'll do in their hearts and in their lives today. Oh, we serve a glorious God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank You. Let's pray over their lives as they go. Father, I thank You for Your great mercy, Your great grace. I thank You that every one of them today, as they come before You, You will gloriously fill them with the power of Your Spirit. They will never be the same again. We give You the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand, would you? Praise God.